Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
We're here. It's July. It's hot.
It's so gross outside. We didn't spend much time at all. Like, we gathered some salad. We did a little bit of weeding.
Yeah, that's about it. And that was in the evening. So,
yes, hoping that the weekend before this actually comes out, it'll actually be nicer.
Yes, that'd be great.
I mean, the peppers and the basil and the tomatoes should like it. We do have little tomatoes on the vine.
Yes.
But
yeah, especially since you will be playing gay kickball.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I really hope that weather is good for you.
I mean, and there's a picnic.
Oh.
But also, yeah. That'll take a lot of Nalgene's to get through. Depending on what the weather is next weekend.
Yeah. Very true.
But Stonewall National Tournament is going to be held in Minneapolis. It's going to be exciting. There's a bunch of events. I think the opening party is actually at First Avenue.
Oh, really?
Instead of
Friday night?
Yeah.
Oh. Are you going to that?
Probably not. Wait, is it? Oh.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure there are a bunch of events everywhere. Because isn't it like all the gay sports? Like,
yes.
Stonewall, period. Like, the pickleball bullshit that everyone's on right now.
Yes.
Bocce.
Softball.
We gays have really co-opted, like, all of the possible... Is there badminton?
I mean, there should be.
That's a very gay sport. I mean...
But it's...
It's gay or Victorian women.
I do appreciate that they're...
It's the a shuttlecock. It's a shuttlecock.
You're very hung up on this. They're, for the most part, they're very non-contact sports, which I appreciate, which is also why I only did 2 seasons of Kid Dodgeball, because that stuff was intense.
They were working out some of their traumas.
It's so bad. I mean, some people love it.
Good for them.
I did not enjoy
like myself. You disliked the first season you did.
It wasn't with my friends. And then I was with my friends. I'm like, it's better, but it's not that much better.
Mm.
So if they couldn't make it better, then that was
a clear sign. And then the pandemic happened. So
true.
That solved that issue.
Yeah. And I was sick for like 5 weekends in a row in that first season.
Yeah. So Bun Bun update, they're all napping a lot. Like, even though they're in air conditioned houses, they just love their naps. They're really doing their best to stay cool during the days.
Yeah, I will have to pull my car into the shade, I think, to start it and get the air conditioning started before we load the buns in, because it's obscenely hot and humid outside.
Yeah.
But they should be okay once they get back to my place into the basement.
Oh, yeah. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
You might have to sleep in the basement.
I'm pretty sure I will. Although the lows go down to the 60s, lower 60s this upcoming week.
Yeah, your place does not lose heat very quickly in the upstairs.
No, it stays warm well into the night.
Yeah. Making for not ideal sleeping conditions. So,
yeah. So, who knows? Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow night too.
Yeah.
But my wrist is better. I'm back at the gym. It's nice.
I'm getting seen by a specialist for my kneecap that floats around and has since I was a kid. And you're like, that's not normal.
I love that you're like, it's always done this. What does yours do? And
it doesn't move. Apparently kneecaps aren't supposed to move. So
yeah,
looking forward to seeing what sports medicine has to say. Will I get any replacement? Won't I? Who knows?
Although I hear if you do, like, you are not, it's not like you're laid up in bed.
No.
They are like, you will be moving. You will be doing all your exercises every day.
Yeah.
Like the day after you get
replaced. Am I still, if it comes to that, will I be taking a lot of time off of work? Absolutely. Because I have to do my exercises.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Short-term disability for a reason.
That's a thing.
It is. It's a benefit I actually pay for because it's elective.
I feel like nowadays it's all elective.
Pretty much. Because
I don't know any place that would do.
No.
Include it.
They barely do parental leave. So.
Right. Because capitalism.
Yeah. Well, speaking of capitalism, we're going over five comics put out by a major conglomerate.
And it's five. It's a lot.
Yeah, you were like, I'm done. I read all of them, all three. And I was like, we're doing five today. And then I went back to cutting fabric while you returned to read two more comics. Oh, cosplay update for the Uncanny Experience happening the last weekend in September, right here in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota. If the gays can come here for their gay sports nationals, you can come here for an X-Men experience.
That's your tagline?
Yeah, why not? It is for this week.
The weather will be very nice.
It will be.
Last year it was perfect.
It really was. And it was even earlier in September last year. So like, it's going to be peak fall weather.
Yep.
Which is beautiful and sunny. Come to Xavier's.
And
at Xavier's. It still messes me up after being a fan for decades. Xavier's, Xavier's.
It's Xavier's.
It's Xavier's. Professor Xavier.
It's how you know he's not really French.
Right. Patrick Stewart, we see you. Jean-Luc Picard. But anyway, I am collaborating with you. And by collaborating, I mean I'm making you cut all the fabric and I'll sew it together.
Yes.
And you cut it for your magician's cloak, the Madrox.
Magic Madrox.
Yes, Magic Madrox cloak. All the fabric is cut.
And I did circles and sort of strips. We'll see what happens when they get hemmed together. They might be sort of wobbly.
Oh, well, my philosophy is that all of your sins are covered up in sewing when you actually sew things together.
Great.
Like cutting errors and things like that can be remedied. Because some of my stuff is a little wonky, like some of the bags and stuff I'm making right now. But once you sew it together, that's your opportunity to like make everything smooth and presentable. So next weekend, we're going to be, when you're not kickballing, we're going to be figuring out the placement of the Madrox symbols on the cloak so I can sink those in before sewing the big pieces together.
Yeah.
And I dreamed last night how to practice it. So that's useful. I'm going to make, like, just use scraps and learn how to do it. Since I looked it up online, and I want to see how to actually do it. So by the time I get to your cloak, like the actual piece, I have a little bit of experience under my belt.
Yeah.
Throwing it together.
That'll be good.
Yes. Otherwise, I have to figure out how to make, like, some good iron-on patches. Like, what sort of bonding agent will I be using?
And there was more of the back of the cloak in one of the panels than I thought that there was. And it seemed to just mostly circles connected by lines. So yes. we'll figure that out.
Yes. It's going to be a hectic mess putting it all together. Because I'll have to take all of your beautiful green fabric, your deep green fabric that you cut, and cut it to pieces to get circles and stripes inset into them.
Oh. The stripes don't just go on top?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Because that'd look really weird with the circles inset and then the stripes put on top.
Oh, no. Well, we'll see what happens. So
if I pull this shit off, you are going to be fucking wearing that cosplay every con for the next half decade. That's what's going to happen. Magic Madrox.
Oh, no.
You've committed to it.
It's also okay if they just sit on top.
It's timeless.
I mean,
much like these comics.
I hope so.
So that's your cosplay update.
Yes. Garden update, bun update, cosplay update.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of sewing.
It's true, you have.
I'm making bags for a Disney trip with my friends in January. You'll be watching the buns.
I will. Who knows? Maybe at some point then I'll go to do hot springs in Colorado.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I know how to make a bag for you.
Yeah.
Take everything.
Oh.
Asta just had an itch, except she is right next to her litter box. So she was hitting her ear and the litter box with her little pawsy.
I'm sort of surprised that the little munches don't get picked up by the mic.
I know. The magic of Zoom recording.
It's true. Because she's eating some very crunchy bits.
Yes, it's afternoon snack time.
I mean, I just demolished a bowl of wafers.
Yeah.
I thought I liked the vanilla better than the strawberry.
Yeah, you need to be in a mood for that fake strawberry flavor.
It's actually a real strawberry.
Maybe that's the problem. So 241 to 245, it's a big arc called Breaking Points.
Yes.
Five issues. So this is really setting up. I mean, you've read to the end of the series.
I have, and you haven't. This is a strange, strange
turnaround. So I feel this, like, we have 20-ish issues left. So I think this is just stage setting. Like, this is the next evolution of the team and setting up.
All new X-Factor?
Well, this is setting up, like, what happens until the end of the series. Like, by the end of these five issues, by the end of this episode, everyone listening, there will be changes on the team, which will have an impact on how things go moving forward.
I don't know if I would say changes.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
241.
My takeaway was that it's wrapping up a lot of loose ends for characters and for introduced people in on this.
Mm.
So we start with the Dormammu Doctor Strange. He's having some feelings.
Yeah, if you recall, three people from the different dimensions or realities were pulled into the 616.
Yes, one from each of the realities that Madrox flew into when he kept dying.
Yes,
they keep killing Madrox, and so all these folks came along for the ride. So we have Dormammu Doctor Strange, we have Captain America Deathlok, and we have what's her face, Van, I can't think of her name, even though I've read it so many times just right now.
I know. The daughter of Rain and her Primhari.
Primhari.
Primhari. We're going to find her name as we go through. And
talk about brain freezes.
Venora.
Venora. I knew there was a Van in there.
It's like our bunny's name with V.
Yes. if she was a Klingon, because then it'd be V apostrophe Nora.
Oh. So Venora, they're all, these three are basically meeting on the studio set that we've seen before.
It's true. They've been a lot of battles there. Yep. And in this little temper tantrum that Dormammu was throwing, he sort of leveled a couple buildings.
Yeah. Venora's like, you just destroyed the set where they film Newsies.
Yeah. There's even a little plaque on the top of one of the buildings that's collapsing of Imperial Studios.
Lot B. Were you a Newsies person?
We watched it in band, I think, probably with a sub or at the end of a term.
Mm-hmm.
I know people love Christian Bale in it.
I've never seen it.
They're like, he was my gay awakening.
Okay. Mine was Devon Sawa and Casper.
Oh.
I was always a spooky child. So.
Yeah. Not what this face from Thackeray Binks from Hocus Pocus.
No, no.
There's other reasons for that to be a gay awakening movie.
Yeah, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy being the top three.
Correct.
But he, Zachary Banks, the same actor, was John Ross Young III in Dallas.
What?
J.R. and Sue Ellen's son as a child actor.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say NCIS. Which he then turned into.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
The nerdy one.
He's been, look at his career.
I guess so.
All right.
So they're in this lot. They're sort of bemoaning, like, why are they here? Blah, blah, blah. Far too many humans. Even if you're not at full power, you can kill them all, blah, blah, blah. And Trip the Elder shows up.
Yeah, it's, you never expect Trip the Elder.
He's just so annoying. He just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
So he's there and they start to make a plan. And Venora like tosses away this little rat carcass that she's been munching on.
Yeah. She's always hungry.
She's always sloppy.
Like both. Both, I think.
Oh, it's just very strange. So they're gonna go to New York. This is gonna be a thing. Meanwhile, back at headquarters, Madrox still has not let go of the fake suicide of Farsight, from Seattle.
Yes.
Longshot is not getting anything off of it. Alec is like, why bother? So.
And he's like, is this official police evidence?
It's one of those, like, don't worry about how I got it.
Yes.
Which seems to come up a lot. And then Rain calls.
Yes, which it puts to an end for this entire episode, that storyline.
Oh, yeah.
It's dropped real quick.
And, well, who knows if it'll come back again.
Yeah.
So folks go off to go find Rain.
Because she's like, I'm in Central Park. Come find me.
Yeah. If it's been a hot minute, she and Richter and Shatterstar went off to find her kid.
Yes.
So
the 616 child.
Yes, not Venora.
Yes, not Venora, the boy.
Yes, my son.
Monet is eating ice cream. Ice cream makes a big comeback in these issues.
It does. And so Polaris is doing her best to try and talk. Like, you just had a disaster state with Guido. He doesn't have a soul. Like, how's that working out for you? Maybe you should go talk to Terry, since she's also had a whole experience with a whole Irish goddess situation. And when I was like, no, I don't want to. I'm over it.
Yeah.
But we got a shot to Terry, and she's picking up a bottle, and she looks like she's about to drink from it.
And then
you didn't want to be doing that.
Yeah.
I can't do how they...
The Irish voice coming from the side, and you're like... Who else is Irish in the Marvel Universe?
That would be talking to Terry.
Yeah. So she drops the bottle before she drinks.
And then that's it.
And then Guido is despondent on a love seat. And Madrox and Havoc are like, hey, you know, we just heard from Rain. You want to come with us? And he's like, do I have a choice? And they're like, yeah, of course you do. And he's like, then I'm not going.
Yeah.
He's reading Helter Skelter.
I don't know what that
implies. It is a true crime book written by the prosecutor of the Manson family about the Manson family murders.
Who's the Manson family murders?
Sharon Tate? Charles Manson?
Didn't he eat people too?
No.
Who was that one?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh. Wow. I'm not one of those gays that listens to all the true crime things is in love with all of them.
I only read Helter Skelter because I took my dad's copy when I was in college, and it's a really good true crime book. Like, it's written by the prosecutor of the case, so like, he has all the evidence. Like, a very compelling case about how the Manson family were just terrible cultists. Like,
are they the Kool-Aid people?
No, that's Jonestown.
Ugh,
you're just embarrassing yourself now.
I do not care about serial killers. I don't understand why everyone is so in love with them.
Well, Charles Manson didn't technically kill anyone. His followers did.
Oh.
So, anyway, Guido is reading some true crime, like a millennial girly, and myself included. And they're off, they being Havoc and Madrox, to Central Park, and they're like, oh, there's Rain over there, and it's a baseball diamond. And Madrox is like, wait, something's off, which we know something's off because Captain America Steve Rogers
is deathlock
is lurking in the bushes. We cut back and Layla's like, hey, Guido, where'd they go? And Guido's like, oh, Rain called. And she's like, Rain's not supposed to come back this way.
Yeah, not so soon.
And he's like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, I'm real sure.
So he goes tearing off, needs Monet for transportation.
And she's like, I'm not your cab.
And Polaris sort of like settles them down to be like, what's the story?
Back at the baseball diamond.
The confrontation is happening.
Madrox is like, where's the cross you always wear, Rain? And she's like, oh, I lost it.
That's not important right now.
Yeah. And Havoc's like, Jamie, is this important? And he's like, yeah. Yeah, it is. And he's like, good enough for me. Deathlock, Captain America, Steve Rogers from the bushes is like, our cover's blown, but they're in the correct positions. So let's fucking go.
Yeah. So he blasts and Alec catches it. Like, does he have energy sensor powers? Like, because he's all plasmoids, he can detect when there's a big energy buildup coming up.
I don't know. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And one of his powers now is described as like cosmic. I don't know if you caught that in the beginning of the book.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
So it says cosmic. So I don't know if his time in outer space altered it.
Well, maybe less cosmic and more interdimensional.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so he and Deathlok are doing the whole like whose energy is bigger measuring contest.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Madras is like, ha, it is you, Venora. I figured it out because you tried to kill me before. And she's like, oh, so sweet, you remembered me. Look at my friends.
And then, like, she turns into her regular form, which tears her blouse.
And pants.
And I'm like, I'm like, wow, she's actually just fully naked in her wolf form.
Yes, but apparently sufficiently furry.
Right?
So
Dormammu Strange is like, yes.
Yeah, so he needs like the essence of Madrox and his duplicity and his connection to other dimensions. He needs Havoc and Havoc's, it's that weird thing about Vulcan and like M-Day, all the energy from all those mutants just didn't disappear. It went someplace and
no.
It's, I don't,
I'm very confused about M-Day still. Like someday I need to read that House of M omnibus on the shelf.
I did the omnibus. I did it on the app and it was fine.
I'm just really in the middle of Justice League International.
Oh, you're living your best DC
and,
life.
And Defenders. I'm living my best J.M. DeMatteis life right yes. now.
So Alex Summers, a nexus to all others of his kind throughout dimensions, James Madrox shares a similar status. So something about like the Summers brothers are connected to all that mutant energy.
Mm.
So he's like, I'm going to power myself up from it. It's going to be great. And then Strong Guy just lands on his back.
Yeah, because he was making a big pentagram. Like everyone was spaced correctly to be the points of the star.
The baseball diamond was just a cover for all the sigils.
Yeah.
All the sacrifices to other gods had been made. And Deathlok is like, well, he's out of the picture, but I'm still going to murder Havoc.
And Polaris glides down, points his gun arm at his head, and makes him pull the trigger.
Yes. And then we get a nice voiceover box of, sometimes I forget that Lorna is Magneto, a.k.a. supervillain's daughter.
Yeah.
And then things like this remind me.
And then Strange Dormammu grabs just an innocent bystander as Guido rushes towards him.
Dormammu, red shorts, orange shirt, purple headband. I feel like that's a fashion crime.
And he's like, I'll kill her. I'll fucking kill her. And Guido's like, well, casualties happen. So like, go ahead. Right. I'm still going to end you.
Right.
So it like, if you kill her, it's not going to change the circumstances.
Yeah. And Strange Dormammu is very perplexed by all this. Monet saves the woman. Strange Dormammu explodes in a fiery pink burst, which is very different than his normal blue flames.
Yes.
And Monet just cannot stand Guido. Like, the fact that he was about to let this woman die does not sit right with her.
Right.
So she yells at him, and he's like, fine, hell with X Factor, and then hell with you. And he goes storming off into the woods, and someone, I think it's the Isolationist, approaches him.
Interesting.
There's some red glowy eyes.
It's all in shadow, though.
It is. And they are responsible for Strange Dormammu's implosion.
And he's like, you like that?
Come with me.
Yeah.
And he does.
And it says end day one. So each of these issues is one day.
Yes.
It's the 5 days that change X Factor forever.
Sort of.
It's how they're branding it.
Well, I know.
Next up, day two.
242. So all these issues now will have some sort of indicator on the characters. So the data sheet that says their names, I still don't know why Layla is Butterfly.
Yeah,
I mean, I know, but
we have not called her that.
No one has ever called her that, ever.
Yeah.
She just had the motif.
Yep.
A motif is not a name.
I wonder if Marvel just wanted to copyright something. They're like, oh, we totally have a superhero named Butterfly.
And it's the early 2000s.
I mean, it's the early 2010s at this point. It's like 2012.
Oh, that's 27. No, this can't be 2017.
Mine is 2012. I have the electronic copy of the trade paperback. So this is like 2011, 2012.
Oh, why in the app does it say copyright 2017?
They probably renewed the copyright for some reason.
Oh, when they made it digital.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a big red X over Strong Guy.
So we know he's out.
Yes. And we get some familiar faces that we haven't seen in a while. We get Darwin.
I was not expecting Darwin.
Does anyone ever expect Darwin?
Not until we get there.
What?
It's an evolution joke.
Oh. And he is still possessed by whatever encounter he had at the casino with Hella.
Which was like so long 30 ago. Issues ago. Like, yeah. Good for long-term storytelling.
Yes, Peter David is all about it. And it's his thought bubbles that we're getting in all these squares about how he needs to kill this kid.
Yeah.
Who is still running and is very close to offing him.
Yeah.
But the kid is very nimble. They're running through a forest. Jack Russell tries to help, but Darwin is with a very creepy close-up with those like green skulls in his eyes.
Yeah. Like he has a almost secondary mutation where he can evolve or devolve a different person from harming him. Like it is an extension of the evolutionary power in.
So if his primary is to evolve himself to survive anything,
right?
Like happening to him, his secondary one is to evolve a defense for what is attacking him.
Right.
So slightly different. It's a little bit more proactive because mm-hmm. in this case, he evolves a bioelectric shock that does not sit well with shapeshifters, and Jack Russell turns back into a human form to get decked by Darwin.
And he is gone.
Yeah, out of the picture.
Yeah, see you later, werewolf by night.
Yes. We get the two survivors, Trip the Elder, because of course, and Venora. Although Trip the Elder is a lot more opaque than he was in the previous issue.
He's like a ghost from Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes. So apparently he got Venora to steal a car, drive all the way down here, and he explained some of the lineage things of like, hey, this kid is you, except he's a boy and you're a girl.
And it's sort of your brother, but sort of not. It's like an interdimensional brother.
Yep. And then he gets startled, which is odd for Trip the Elder, and he says, oh dear, he's found me, he's coming, and there's a boom and a puff of green smoke, and that's all we get of Trip the Elder this issue.
Yeah.
So Venora is still confused, and she's like, whatever. But the kid is at the end of a cliff, and there's a lot of monologuing. Darwin, I feel like, should know better than to monologue so much.
His name is Tyr. I was just reminded of that.
Oh, yes. But yeah. like a layer tier.
Yes.
Not like a three-tiered cake.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Norse T-Y-R that you see more often.
But I agree. Darwin is evil monologuing a whole lot.
So much.
Taking his time to like really kill this kid. He's like, I'm going to shoot you. Except it's like two pages.
Yes. And then he's like, well, give me some reason to shoot you and don't just stand there. And Venora shows up, whooshes past Darwin.
Leaps off the cliff.
Yeah, she's got the muscles to leap over a canyon.
And Richter appears behind Darwin. He's like, put down your gun. Come on, Armando.
We don't kill kids.
Yeah.
And I love how the monologuing part is like, Richter once had earth tremor powers, but now he's just a normal guy. And we get the cutscene. But when we come back to it, Richter kachooms. And he's like, well, I guess the voices in my head missed a memo. Because Richter got his powers back somehow. And we should say in that little interlude, there's sort of a conversation between the kid and Venora. Rain shows up. Venora's pissed.
Yeah.
And attacks. And Richter ends up blasting Darwin off the cliff.
Yep. And at first, Darwin is like, oh no, I'm going to grow wings. It's going to ruin the lines of my jacket.
But then he evolved into something more like the Thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, this is going to take a little bit. So Richard and Chad are working their way back to Rain, who's under attack by Venora, and they don't quite know what's happening.
No.
Tyr tries to save Venora from Rain, but then Rain has the whole, like, you are my son moment.
And I love you.
Tyr does, like, the super aggressive face, and all of a sudden the sniff sniff wide eyes. And they hug, and it's tearful, and Venora still wants to kill both of them.
And then Shatterstar, from behind.
Stab. Like, if she's leaping, I don't know how he does this.
No.
Because she's leaping towards Rain and Tyr, and somehow he's behind and able to thrust his blades through her.
Yeah, like...
behind, but she's moving forward, so...
Like, through her collarbone?
Yeah.
Basically on either side of her neck. And Shatterstar is like, who the hell is this? And Rain's like, I don't know, but she smells a little familiar.
Yeah. So then they go get Jack Russell. They get a cabin in Nova Scotia, courtesy of Wolverine, because really he owes Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're going to hang out. Rain is like, I'm going to stay here with my kid. I'm not going back to New York, which surprises Richter and Shatterstar.
Yep.
So Venora wakes up.
She wasn't dead, but she grabs one of the crows that was trying to scavenge on her as a little snack.
Little snacky poo. And Darwin is still watching.
Yeah, he's in the shadows watching Venora.
Yep. And that's the issue.
Yeah. End of day two.
Yeah. It's... I like them for their character dives. And, like, there's so many strings to tie up that you can't just do it all at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like they're doing right by.
Yeah, it's a good amount of characters to focus on per issue.
Yeah, with the team backing up enough in the background.
Yes.
So then we get a splash page. Is it a splash page? If it's just one page, of Polaris freaking out.
Then we cut to earlier. So we know that splash page
will be coming back.
Yes.
And we'll see what leads up to it. So she is walking down the hallway. She's having a moment because it's the anniversary of her parents' death. And she has the photo that was in the plane with them. So she passes Madrox, who's like, well, I'm supposed to meet Layla in my room or something, but it didn't sound urgent, so I'll go check up on Polaris.
Meanwhile,
Layla has, like, all the candles, all the roses, and she's like, I should have brought a book. So... Havoc is also there.
He's in the office and he's like, your organizational system sucks, Madrox.
Yeah, they have this going back and forth thing as always about, like, what's happening, who's the leader, what's up with Polaris.
Yeah.
Monet comes in looking a little like She-Hulk, like they gave her a lot of muscles.
Yeah. And Madrox is like, have you heard from Guido? And she's basically like, no, can I leave now?
Yeah.
Like,
she also doesn't appreciate being addressed as hey.
Yes.
Like, hey, you. Not a fan.
Yeah.
So Polaris goes and finds Longshot.
Who's sad. He's like, that's Guido's chair. It's the only one that could support his weight.
It's true. And Polaris is like, have you seen where all the candles went? Layla. And she wanted to build a memorial. She has the picture. Longshot touches it and has a moment.
And he's like, I gotta go. Bye.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, come back here. Come like, back
you
here.
You saw something. I know you saw something.
Yeah. And this begins, like, Lorna's frantic.
Like, this is...
frenzied. Her seeking out knowledge. Like...
And we find out why later.
Yes.
Like, it all makes a lot of sense once you know. But if you're reading this and you're like, why is she attacking Longshot?
Yep.
So Terry comes down the stairs and is like, who also has news of, like, who's that Irish voice in her room?
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, Alex, get over here. And Polaris is like, you're going to help me whether you want to or not. And she lets go of Longshot. She's like, yeah, he could lie. I need the complete story. Absolutely. Where's Monet? She attacks Monet.
Yeah, because she's like, Monet can read your thoughts for me. Like, you may not want to tell me, but Monet can dig into that brain.
Yes. And Layla comes wrapped up in a sheet and is like, put her down. She was going to help you anyway. You should just ask and maybe not attack people. Money actually does say thank you for saving her from Polaris. So that's some growth. So they go up on the roof. There's like a whole seance vibe. Madrox and Alex are talking like the himbos they are in the background.
And Madrox is like, so you brought them up here. And Havok's like, yeah, I didn't want them to destroy any furniture. Like, if Polaris goes off the rails, I don't want the furniture to be destroyed. And Madrox is like, well, Havok, you brought them up on a roof so she can do the same thing to an entire city block? And he's like, you got a point.
Yeah. So they start. It's happening. We get a monochrome Lorna going through this plane that actually is in color. And we get this fight scene between her parents. The dad is accusing the mom of having an affair with Magneto. So that was a real thing. And it's like, oh, you brought me up here so you could throw me out. And then Magneto shows up. And
she's like, if I can't have her, no one can.
Yeah.
Like, it's real bad dialogue. We'll find out in like a page why. But like, I was reading this and I'm like, this is some corny ass shit.
And then we get like this void that Monochrome Lorna is standing in, but Longshot and Monet are in color. And she's like, this is bullshit. Like, I know Magneto enough to know that this is not him. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a jilted lover kind of guy.
Right.
And Monet is like, well, good call. Longshot was mentally begging me not to show you what actually happened. And she's like, are you sure you want it? And Polaris is like, yep. So rewind the scene a little bit. The parents are fighting in the cockpit, except Lorna is on a seat on the plane. She wakes up to them fighting just because she's three. And she's like, stop fighting, stop fighting. And she's being yelled at by the parents and her powers kick in. And it's green magnetism that destroys the plane.
She blows the entire plane up.
And Magneto is summoned by the magnetic pulse and is there with Jason Wingard.
Whoa.
Creeper.
Yeah.
And Jason Wingard's like, oh, a child's mind is so pliable.
Whoa.
So creepy. But he rewrites the history.
And puts mental blocks in place.
Yeah. So that Lorna will not think that she was the one who killed her parents.
Yes.
But she realizes it now.
And she has a full breakdown.
Yeah, she is tearing, like, scratching her face, almost like she's scratching her eyes out. And sort of collapses. And Monet is like, this is what she asked for. Like, this is the truth of it.
And Havok is like, she's had breakdowns before. And Monet is like, yep, it can all be traced to what Mastermind did.
Yeah.
Like he rerouted and rewired things in such a way
that she knew what the truth was, but she couldn't get herself to admit it. Like
she couldn't find it.
Yeah. So all that swirling had an impact. And so Layla walks out and is like, that's what actually happened. These folks aren't lying to you. And you can either waste time killing the messengers, or you can try to help the woman you love through this, assuming you love her enough. And that was such a pointed line.
Mm.
I liked it.
And that's the end of day three.
Yeah, it ends with monochrome Lorna in the void with her sleeping three-year-old self.
Yeah, like they're both in the fetal position.
Yeah.
Day four.
This might be my favorite one of them.
We start off in 150 BC.
Yes. So there's some Gaelic Celtic nonsense happening.
It's a battle between two women with spears. Well, one woman with a spear.
And an axe, and the other woman does not.
Yes.
And the woman who is armed is going after the woman on the ground because her father was sacrificed by this woman. She wants to save the soul of her dad. And by doing so, she sold her soul to get the spear of Lug? Loch? I don't know. But there's a
I definitely magic sphere. Because of the lettering, I thought it was light when I read it quickly earlier today.
Right, there's an L and a GH in it.
Yep, I just assumed Spear of Light.
Spear of Lug.
Lua?
Lua. Like, I don't know. But
Edinburgh.
Cthulainn?
Yes.
So there's a little
episode about Cthulainn. See the Guardians of the Galaxy 1993 annual.
Mark Stedbard was doing a fundraiser and I chose him as my commission.
Oh, fun.
So except he's wearing armor. He's not as, but he should be able to tell he's still hunky. Mm. So there's sort of this dialogue between them of like, would you, you're doing this because I sacrificed your dad and you sold your soul. What would he think about all this? And the one with the spear is like, shut up, he'd understand. And the woman on the ground is like, we're more alike than you know. Look in your heart. You know that's not what your father would want for you. You'll use the spear to finish it, but first, take my hand and take it now.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back to Terry.
She's having a conversation with her father, Banshee.
So Dad they're Banshee.
Both, because they're both Banshee.
They are both Banshee.
Banshee chatting with Banshee.
I don't think that is carried over. I think they tried to make it happen. And then yeah. Regina George / Morphal writ large was like, don't stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah. So it's a whole conversation about like, are you real? Are you really here?
Like, I don't know what's happening with you. Because you're just in reflections of things.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, in the kitchen, Polaris is just a swirl of knives.
Yeah. Like,
is she playing Baldur's Gate? Is she a cloud of daggers?
I mean, that's a great one to have.
It really
at
is.
Your party.
And Havoc and Longshot and many Mandroxes are in the kitchen. And they're trying to calm Lorna down. And Longshot is like, but can I have my knives back?
She needs to give me my knives back.
Yeah. And so Polaris is like, have them then, and throws them all. But you can, the top panel of the next page, you can tell is Monet's hands on either side of Polaris's face. Just like putting the mental smackdown on her.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then Madrox is just like, so impressed by Longshot plucking all his knives out of the air as if he had a dozen hands. And he's like, well, they belong to me. And then in classic himbo fashion, after Madrox says, well, remind me not to touch your stuff, Longshot says, I think you would remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Such a himbo. How did he have his own series?
Well, that's how he was created.
In the miniseries?
Yes.
Okay. So Alex tends to Lorna. Monet is just over the whole thing. And she's like, stop blaming me. Polaris asked me for that bridge, that telepathic bridge between her and Longshot. It's not my fault.
She's alternating going between fetal and full-on Carrie.
Yes. And Alex is like, well, you're right about everything. I'm not going to argue with you. And Monet is sort of disappointed.
Yeah.
Back to the Banshees. Banshee squared.
Yes. Still a conversation.
It is. And it's been happening for a few days, apparently. Like, what if... And it, which also gives you a sense of the state that the rest of the team is in. If
they're not noticing that she's not around a lot.
No, and she can't go to them because they're all busy with the Polaris stuff and the Guido stuff.
And there's a point made in here where Sean Cassidy Banshee is like, you would go to them if you thought that you were just imagining this.
Yeah.
But you think it's real, so you're not.
Right. And Terry's like, but how do I really know? And Layla locks in and she says, because I know.
Mm.
And they actually weren't together. They're like, if you're going to do this, you have to give me 100%. And Terry's like, I'm in 100%. And we don't necessarily know what this is at this point. Oh, and then we get
Lorna just having a real bad time in
like
bed.
Laid on the bed, eyes wide, pupils real small.
Yeah.
Alex is having a bit of a breakdown.
He's like, I wish that we could just go back to outer space.
things were simpler then. I mean, everyone was still trying to kill them, but he thought that he was supposed to come back, and now they got sucked into the Avengers thing, which I think is Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah, I think so.
And in a headquarters full of people, he feels very alone.
Like, he doesn't know what his place is anymore.
Right. Which it might be a sort of the spoken theme for multiple characters.
Yeah.
So Terry and Layla, they make a circle. There's a candle.
They're summoning. It's a summoning circle, and it's for the Morrigan.
It is.
And Morrigan shows up, and she's like, what now?
Well, let's change the location. You summon me, but I don't want to be in that space. Yeah. I'm going to go to the
rainy
moor with lightning and the ring of stones.
There's always lightning.
Always.
Just like Dante's Cove.
We watched this too of Dante's Cove, and it's so bad. So bad. Always, like, the timing of day never works out.
No.
Toby's always working.
Yeah.
And
Toby's always working. And everyone's covered with oil. Like, these poor actors were just slathered and oiled up for every single scene.
Yep.
I'm surprised they didn't have more zits, actually.
I must be a lot of exfoliation.
Yeah.
And bronzer.
Yeah.
So the Morrigan and Banshee have a whole talk.
And Banshee is like, I crave a boon.
Yeah.
That's what they get to. And
the Morrigan is like,
I'm going to kiss you.
That I forgot about until I read it again. I'm like, good for you, Morrigan. And Terry tries to talk it off like, it's not for me, it's for a friend. And the Morrigan is like, you may think it's to help your friend, but really it's for you. And yeah, the Morrigan is what was creating that Banshee. I got the vibe it was a little bit ambiguous if it was the Morrigan allowing the actual spirit of Sean Cassidy to talk to Teresa, or if it was like a version of the Morrigan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But she's like, okay, I'll cut you a deal.
And there's an interesting dialogue too about, like, you are going to the God that you know exists rather than the Catholic one that you don't.
Mm.
And you're a little bit resentful. And let's make a deal. I can't actually help Lorna. She doesn't believe in me, but she believes in you. So we find out that this Morrigan is actually the woman with the spear who was beating up on the previous Morrigan.
Yeah, and she's been the Morrigan for 2,000 years, and she's like, I'm tired.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see my dad. And through all this, like, I know the connection that Irish girls have with their fathers, which...
Sure.
Ugh, I hate the paternalistic stuff like that.
Yeah. Sure jam.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it...
We get the same take my hand.
Yeah, because Terry's like, deal. Let's do this. I'll be the Morrigan. Buckle up.
Yeah. And she kills, like...
She's like, all right, you just need to, like, give me one E. One long E.
So when she killed the previous Morrigan, she had, like, the spear of Lug.
Mm-hmm.
But for this, she's sort of coaching Terry how to create the spear with her voice. And that's what Terry uses.
And that sound penetrates through the summoning circle into X-Factor headquarters.
Layla's holding her ears, being blasted backwards. Alex grabs his ears.
Polaris is healed.
Yeah.
Through the power of sound.
And she's like, there was the most beautiful song in my head. Terry looking amazing at the Morrigan. Like, someone should do this as a cosplay.
Demanda has the wiggle ready.
Oh, I'm sure. But she is so busy with her spreadsheet full of looks.
I know. She should add this.
Okay.
She should.
I would feel bad about adding something onto an already extensive list. True. But it is pure enough.
Yes.
And Demanda is amazing enough to pull it off.
We could go to one of those Halloween stores in a mall, Spear Halloween. Get a
bag full of black feathers and mail it to DC.
And also, like, a styrofoam crow.
I was thinking
with that. Red eyes.
Yes. But
Demanda.
We got you this.
If if a bag of black feathers shows up at your door.
You know who it's from.
And it's not a threat.
It's not. It's a request. Or a look. Or a boon, if you will.
So she appears to Madrox and she's like, I'm so much more than what I used to be. I'm quitting the team.
Well, I just want you to let you know, deep down, I never stopped loving you. And I know you felt the same about me. But now we can both move on. If you need me, just pray for me. And the art and here is so good. It's all wispy.
Yeah.
And then she disappears.
She's gone. Yeah. I need to know if she comes back. Like,
were you shook, as they say?
As I'm reading along and all the Terry stuff in these recent issues, it's all adding up to where X-Factor was.
You mean
in
the
Krakoa?
Right. Yeah. The whole Morgan plotline that she and
Blair Leah Williams, had. Yes. And tossing herself off a cliff. I think I need to revisit.
I mean, I had that thought too. Like, it was some sort of, in the Krakoa one, it made it sound like it was a deal with an entity that's still around.
Yeah.
Versus this, where like that old Morgan is gone.
Right.
She is the new Morgan. That's why they have many names, many faces, because they've been many women over the centuries.
She's every woman.
Sure.
So
now,
day five.
On the data page is an X across Strong Guy, Banshee, and Wolfsbane, which are like most of the core members.
Yeah.
So.
So
we get the Jacques.
Yes.
Look from Madrox.
He's yelling at Havoc.
Yeah, he is laying into him. He's like, we are dropping faster than characters in a slasher film.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Why are you supposed to be the leader when ever since you've been here, everything has just gone to shit?
Yeah. And Madrox is counting. Rain, Shatterstar, and Richter gone. Teresa's gone. Guido's gone. And Monet is just
in the background. Good riddance.
Yes.
And Madrox even like blasts her. Like, he was my friend before he was your whipping boy. So zip it. And Havoc is trying to maintain some sense of order. But Lorna comes in. Zaps both of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, now turn off the spigot of your testosterone flow before I shut it off myself. And it'll be way more painful if I do it. Settled that real fast.
Yep.
So
Polaris is like, if you're going to be angry at anyone, Jamie, be angry at me.
I'm why Teresa did that. Because she saved me. And you don't want to know what is happening inside my head. And yeah. Madrox is like, one minute you're on the slow boat to Crazy Town, no offense. And Monet in the background is like, how could you possibly take offense at that? Oh. And then Layla is about to speak up for her role in it.
Yeah.
But Alex covers for her.
He does.
Like, in a very seemingly nice way.
And plausible.
Yeah. And he's like, and you too, Layla, don't you agree? And she's like, I think I kind of do.
Yeah.
So Madrox is pissed. He stormed out.
Yeah.
I need something to eat. And then Longshot's like, I'll come along. And Layla's like, me too. And it's like,
Monet pretend
the sentence of I need to be alone didn't happen, apparently.
Monet stalks off alone.
Yes.
And
Havoc is like, is she speaking Arabic? And from off panel, Monet is saying just the swear words.
Yes.
Which I'm glad that she's like has more dimensions before. Like,
yeah, I appreciate that.
More connection to Algerian.
Yeah, so I took away from these five issues. We might as well get into it now because I think Monet's gone for the remainder of this issue.
Oh, yeah.
I think that she's being one-dimensionalized at this point in X-Factor. Like
she's only there to be sassy and doesn't...
Or angry, and that's it. And...
Well, that's true.
She was the conduit a couple issues ago.
But she hasn't done much.
Yeah.
It's not like where she flew to a temple to save her dad.
Exactly. Like, that is some great character development. And I feel most of the characters within these five issues are getting something. They're getting a modicum of character development. Like, even Richter, even though he showed up for like three pages, like, took a stand against Darwin and
committed to helping Rain.
Yes. So,
which is a complicated decision.
Right.
And Monet isn't getting any.
She really isn't.
Oh, that's fair.
So I'm hoping to see more before the end of this run from her, because it's a little disappointing. I'm like, oh, Monet came in to say something and then leave again.
Right. Storm in, be sassy, storm off.
Yeah. So now we're diving into Havoc and Polaris, having some heart-to-heart talks.
Yeah.
And it pretty much extends throughout the rest of this issue. And
I mean, we do get a double splash page of Richter and Shatterstar coming back home.
Yeah.
And saying, hi, did you miss us?
They destroyed so much.
All the furniture.
Yeah. The furniture that they're really worried that Polaris
was going to destroy in the previous issue. I love that when they're in their room and Havoc is in the closet, Lorna says, don't make me start telling you to come out of the closet. Shatterstar might overhear and then it'll be a whole thing. Good for Shatterstar.
Yes.
And
Alex is packing. Like, he got his suitcase and he's like, I'm packing everything except this outfit. It really does look like Tron.
Yeah. He was getting so much grief from Pip and Madrox about it.
Yeah.
And Alex is like, pronoun trouble. You keep saying we.
Yeah.
I think you mean you.
Yeah, because Havoc is like, we're leaving.
Yeah, we're going back in space.
Yeah.
And Lorna's like, I like these people. I like the work that we do, where we're still on Earth and we're still helping people. I'm like, hey, you got a case? Maybe we can take it on.
Mm-hmm.
Get paid, do a job, and be happy about it. Like, she is where she wants to be right now. And Havoc is not. He was really trying to do what he thought he was supposed to do. Like, come back from space, try to help Scott.
Yeah.
Scott apparently has gone off the rails.
Sure.
Again, is this because of the Team Wolverine book that people are missing on Cyclops?
I guess. I don't know. But the nice thing about X-Factor is that I don't have to care about that, because it'll be like a little tiny reference here and there.
Right.
But it's not impacting how the story is going.
Yeah. And Alex is just struggling to where he fits in a world that doesn't make sense to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorna wants to stay. And then we sort of cut downstairs. People are having ice cream. Doors are getting fixed.
Yes.
And yeah, Lorna's like, you could have just deferred to Madrox to let him lead the team. And Havoc is like, I couldn't see myself doing that. Sort of like why I invited you to a gym workout and you're like, I don't see myself at the gym.
Yes.
And yeah, they have a heart to heart and like, maybe what we need is to need each other less.
Yeah, it's a breakup.
It is.
And
I keep getting like, Havoc is with Lorna and then with Maddie and now with Lorna again and then now he's with Maddie again.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's having trouble closing the suitcase. Lorna uses her magnetic powers to flip those latches shut.
Yep.
And she's like, boy, bye.
Yeah. Please, if you do find something to run toward, don't let it be Scott. That won't end well for anyone. Then we get this really weird panel of Layla and Madrox eating ice cream. And all of a sudden, Madrox is like, do you want to get married? And she's like, to you? When? Right now? Yeah, okay. And that's just an empty table.
And then they go off.
And we get Havoc putting his jacket on, grabbing some sunglasses. And in a second in the mirror, they look red. And so he takes them off and leaves them behind with his Tron outfit. And Pip is a dick.
Yep.
But he gives him cab money.
He does.
As long as Havoc doesn't ask where the money came from.
Yeah.
Lorna comes back with sort of an ugly outfit.
Oh, yeah. She's like, my other one was just a throwback to 1968.
I'm like, there's elements of this that I like, but I don't like the baggy sleeves, but then it's a skin tight suit.
And
but
the,
then there's like a cape.
And the purple, so the cape is a separate piece, and yet the colors match up with the bodysuit. It's very weird. I don't like that aspect.
No, I don't even know how Cyan Man would make this into a suit.
No.
And they have a nice goodbye. Along with a little like, oh, I haven't seen Layla since this afternoon, haha. And he's like, whatever, tell them they can, what you want, they can take care of themselves. I bet they won't miss me. And on the next page, it's Victor, Shatterstar, Longshot, and Monet going to dump buckets and a net full of water balloons.
Yes.
Onto Havoc.
Poor guy.
Yes.
And that's it. The 5 days that changed X Factor forever.
Yeah. So Strong Guy, Havoc, Banshee, Wolfsbane.
Yeah.
Are all gone.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. And we are coming up so soon on the end of this series.
And well, especially if we're doing 5 issues at once.
Yeah.
So
I think it just makes thematic sense with how everything is broken down story arc wise.
I know that I've said this before about X Factor, but this was also part of when I was reading it the first time when I couldn't put it down because I was like, oh no, the team's falling apart. Who's next? I have to read the next issue to find out who's next.
Yeah.
And it just sort of kept going until it was like 2 a.m. and I was destroyed for the next day.
Yeah.
2 days. Let's be real. We're in our 30s. I logged into one of those health portals and it said age on it. And I was like, that's fucking rude.
Yeah, it is. I just looked. We only have 3 episodes left of X Factor Investigations.
Are we doing 6 issues in an episode? I thought we have like 18 left.
I don't know.
Oh.
It's right there.
Yeah. It's good.
It is.
So, dear listener, what were your thoughts when you read this for the first time?
Have you read this for the first time? Does this make you want to read it for the first time?
Yeah. When you think about X Factor, do you ever think about the end?
Yeah. Oh, Asta is having some strong feelings right now about X Factor. She's digging at a rug. Oh, she just wanted to get comfier, I guess.
I guess. This coming from the rabbit who splitted over like an inch high wire.
Yes.
And thought
threshold, and she's like, this is fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us hear from you. Follow us on Instagram, X Factor Files Podcast.
For all your Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Alpha Flight, X Factor Investigations, and Defenders needs.
And sometimes Rule of Three, where we have a guest on.
And our special friends.
Yes. So that is X Factor Files Podcast. Instagram, wherever you can find Instagrams being sold. And we will catch you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Be well.
Bye.